Hi, I'm going to read Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that their master needs them." He sent them off right away. Now, this happened to fulfill what the prophet said. "Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. Then he sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowds answered, "It's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee."
I need to ask you all one pastoral favor. Today is Summer's birthday. Our young Summer, who's not here with us today because Papa and she had to go to Northern California to bury grandfather. But can we all just turn around real quick and look up at the camera and say, "Happy birthday, Summer"? Okay, one, two, three. Happy birthday, Summer! Woo! Okay, that is with the theme, "Let the children come first." It's in the text. Okay, so good morning. I love this Sunday in particular, because we are kind of at an apex of world religions. But let me first tell you a story. This story could have happened anywhere. As you know, I've lived in many cities: Denver, Phoenix, Seattle, Galesburg. So let's pretend this was at an adult Sunday school in any one of those cities. And I'm with very wise, smart folks in my adult Sunday school class. And at the Sunday school class, we invited Muslim friends to come and talk about Ramadan. And we happen to be right in the middle of Ramadan right now, which I think is really cool cosmically. And so Ramadan, the women are explaining it. They're like, "Well, it's a time where we fast and where we think about our journey with God and where we fit with God. And we don't have anything cross our lips that's impure. So we don't drink food. We don't drink during the day, and we don't eat during the day. But then every night we come together in family and in community, and we celebrate and to do that." And then one of the very smart women in the Sunday school class said, "Oh, I wish we had something like that." Did y'all get that? So I said, and I was my snarky self, I go, "We do. It's called Lent. Hello." And then, so we are in Lent, where hopefully we have been fasting. We have been taking on things. We have been pondering where we fit in the universe and with God. And this week then also begins Passover. So we are in one of those moments in time where the three of us that are from the Abrahamic traditions, meaning we all come from Abraham, are celebrating high holy days. Isn't that cool? Okay, I think it's really cool as interfaithy Monica, but I think it's really cool because hopefully it gets us to think and to ponder why we believe and why we listen and do these stories that we do. And it just so happens, now think about it, and here's my little, again, guide. While Passover is happening, and we discover Jesus is coming to Jerusalem right now for Passover, that doesn't mean, Christians, you can invite people over for Passover this week. No, that's not for you to do, okay? Are we clear? All right, okay. So It's Passover, it's Jerusalem, it's the busiest time, it's people coming from all over. What does Jesus decide to do? He's going to do street theater. He's going to do a political action. It's also at the same time that Passover is happening, where it's really popular and everybody's coming from all places to be there. We've got politicians, we've got Pharisees, right? They're politicians. We've got people, everybody, no matter what your economic strata, you are coming to the temple to do Passover. And remember, temple is not just a building that ours is so accessible you just come in one door. There are many ways in which to get to the temple. If you're more economically modest, you're out here, and the more you can give, the closer you get in. So we've got everybody coming, right? There's lots of ways to explain it, but that's the easiest, right? So we got that happening, and then we got Pilate on the other side of the city, who has also come to town to let people know who's in charge, because he knows he's going to get a lot of goods here, because it's Passover. People are bringing the so it's time to pick up. So think of it this way. I had the image brought to me this week through John Dominic Crossan and Marcus Borg in their book, The Last Week of Jesus. You've got Jesus over here doing his political act, acting like he's a Roman emperor because he's on the donkey. And he has the colt. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But only people of high esteem, it's like the chariot, that Pilate is coming on the other side of town. Palms only used for royalty. So Jesus is having the people use only what's used for royalty and sort of doing, like the red carpet that Pilate's getting on the other side. That's what's going on. It makes this holiday really a lot heavier and deeper, doesn't it? It's saying, no, Rome, you are not my God. I serve this God. And I'm here for the ones who maybe can't even get into the temple. And I think you've learned through our stories, where do women fit on the strata? Really low. Where do children fit in the strata? Right there with women and dogs, unfortunately. They are the lowest of the low. But here's Jesus saying, let the children come to me. And then even goes into nature, let the rocks and stones and sing for themselves. He's saying, I am here for everybody and the planet. Rome is saying, give me your taxes. And they're coming in with weapons. Jesus is saying, no weapons. Jesus is saying, no weapons. This is a non-violent action. So they're doing this non-violent action. And I had some listened to some commentary people talking this week about why the colt? Why the colt? Why the donkey and the colt? Well, it's to remind us that this also happened in Zechariah, so it's part of our history where the prophet comes in on the donkey, but the colt is from the donkey, right? This is not just Jesus who's supposed to be doing this, it's who comes next. Us, we're the colt, we're the legacy. It was not just a one-day thing. This is, I'm asking you to become part of a movement. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. In fact, the week ahead, not so bright, but we know Sunday's coming next week. So that's our setting. It is a cosmopolitan town. People are from all over the East, us, the West, Rome, coming and gathering in the center of Jerusalem at the most high holy days. And Jesus is saying, yes, I do not serve Caesar, but I serve God. And I'm here for you people. Now in the crowd, we've got some mixed stuff going on there too. The children, they of course know Jesus. They don't have their you know how we get older and we get more reserved and we get more like we don't say the things we really want to say. Children, they're like, yes, Jesus. And what does Hosanna, Hosanna mean? Those of you that read, you're keeping up this week. It's not hallelujah, hallelujah. It is save us, save us, save us from this empire. Save us from this injustice. Those are action words. The high priests hear those action words. They're like, oh, God, we got to put this, not resurrection, but insurrection. We got to put it underground. So I'm never going to say Hosanna the same way anymore. It is save us. Save us. Makes me wonder, oh my gosh, can we do this? You know. And then we're thinking, oh gosh. How is it different from Jesus's times? In this last week, I'm thinking not that much different. We live in a world, and the United States of America in particular, is just violent. And the Romans would decide if they didn't like somebody, especially Pilate, and this is why the Jewish authorities wanted a crucifixion, because Pilate did crucifixion every day. And he made sure that it was on the road. You know, like going to South Coast Mall. You know how busy it gets there in Bristol? And like, that's where Pilate would have crucifixions. Think of the busiest street. So he is known as a terrorist. And Caiaphas and friends are like, we gotta get Pilate on this so that, because we know he'll be happy to kill Jesus and he'll be happy to have him there. Well, this week, we just had to experience more of our own children dying because somehow we feel that guns are more important than kids. I just don't get that. And I know you're all like me, you're probably feeling like, what can we do? There's just us. There's just one of us. Can I be the cult? Can I be the legacy? So I started looking up people. Let me show you this piece of art now that's been going around all over the interwebs, right? There's this version, and there's a new version that was made in 2006. But I could tell by this work, this is older. So I looked it up. This is a wood cutting made by Otto Panik, and he was German. And he was born in the late 1870s, fought for France in 1914 to 1917. So he'd seen one world war. And then he did his schooling here, did his schooling there. A Christian, a German Christian, who by choice did art about the oppressed, the repressed, the depressed, the outsiders. So how he did that was some of his models were from the Romani, so the gypsies. Some of his models were Jewish folks. Some of his models were people who were differently abled. He felt that the gospel said that all should be included. So because he did that, he made Hitler's list of degenerates. And this is what I love about Jesus people. So the Nazis, thinking they're being smart, and we know they weren't, but decided to create an art show of the degenerates. And they had it tour Europe. And this was, again, right before the war. The show was more popular than Nazi art shows. It ended up doing the exact opposite. It ended up empowering a people for these artists. He had I think he had 58 artists that were named. So then he had to serve in a camp because he wouldn't stop doing his art. Are we ready? Are we ready to welcome Jesus? So he continued to do his art. This he survived. This is what I love. He survived. When you hear people who are right, you and me, when we hear people that were complicit during World War II, some of us feel really yucky because you didn't have to be complicit. He did his art. He followed Jesus. He took his gospel seriously. So then he did this in 1950. And now we need it today. You know how else this got to be used so that we can have hope that we can be the cults? The peace movement of Germany of the 1980s then used it when they were fighting for the end of the wall. So, 1950 as a response and a reaction to World War II and the atrocities, and that a Christian can stand up. In fact, Otto Pandok is remembered at Yad Vashem in Israel for being one of the people. So I just love this. At the beginning of Passover week, the beginning of Holy Week, in the beginning of the ending another week of hell in the United States, when we might feel like, what can we do? We are living almost, it seems, in Roman times where the gun is more powerful than love. Take this as inspiration. And then you do art. You write poetry. You paint. Remember, someone is going to see it and be moved by it and be changed. And possibly it might get into another movement. Our friends of the 1980s peace movement that then the wall was indeed torn down. We are close to this, you and me. So, let's celebrate being part of this new Jesus movement. Let us remember when we are holding a palm, we are part of a legacy that will change lives and bring new life in this coming week. So I've got two action items for us. You know, I think prayer is a moving thing. So don't send me your prayers. Let's pray together. Amen? Amen. So our first action is going to be to write thank you notes today to King County. Oh, my God. I've lived in two minutes. Where am I? Orange County supervisors, especially to our Katrina Foley, who's our supervisor. This week I was invited to do the invocation, and while I was there, I learned that this past year, Orange County had a bring back your gun and turn it in. We won't ask questions, you just turn it in and you go on your merry way. Over 400 guns were turned in. 17 of them were semi-automatic. There's going to be another turn in your gun day. They don't have the date yet, but I think it's really important for Supervisor Foley to hear from Christians that we support turning in your gun day, especially your semi-automatic weapon. So I have a little sheet back there that Miley, pastor in training, is going to pass out and put on your table for during coffee hour, and I have thank you notes. So I thought it would be special to handwrite a thank you note, because they don't get those very often anymore either. So only if you choose. I'm not making anyone do this. Pick it up or not, but Miley will have the address on there for you, and Cindy and Julietta will take your envelopes when done. That's our first action. Our second action is Monday, Thursday will be Thursday, and we will be having a small service here at 7, and Anisha's going to play cello. So come in here, Anisha, and I'll do, and we will have communion, as we are also going to have today. And I really hope you can take time to be there. That's your second action item, because it's really hard to go from Palm Sunday to Easter without having a little moment in between. It'll be good for us to come together in community and share in a quiet moment before we then again do new life. So friends, we have joined a movement. It's a movement that's kind of made of kind of quirky people, kind of people on the outside, kind of people that might even be called degenerates. But boy, wouldn't you rather go to that party? Especially when you know Jesus is at the center. So, happy Palm Sunday, and stick it to the oppressive government day. And may we all have an amazing week, because we got a lot to prepare for, a whole new life. Amen and amen.